The message part of the service today. So if you guys want to go ahead and draw it up back there, we're going to continue to talk about being thankful. And last week, we were from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, and we're going to kind of hang out there again today. We actually did 1 through 12 is what we're really focused on. You know, last week we talked about who to be thankful to. And so it's to God who gives us all good gifts, right? He's the only one who truly is the giver of good gifts. And so if you have a good gift, it's because God himself has ordained for you to have it or even given it to you with his very own hand. And now we're going to talk about the things that we learn from this particular area of Scripture to be thankful for. And so I think it's good for us to just read the Scripture. And so if y'all would like to, let's stand and let's read this area of Scripture again today. We can never read it too many times or too often. So we're going to read through this particular passage again. Now let us read Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since this day you heard, since the day that you heard that and knew the grace of God in truth, as you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared it to us, your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spirit, wisdom, and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with his might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray. Dear Father, we want to thank you for this word that you've given us today. Words of things to truly be thankful for. And so, Lord, help us to examine this area of Scripture, to apply it to our own lives, and to see that we truly do, as Christians, have everything in the world to be thankful for. Bless us today, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all can have a seat. And as we now desire to break down the Scripture and look at things, the true gifts to be thankful for. You know, it's nice when we think about the physical things that we have to be thankful for, and a lot of times we can get stuck at only the things we can see with our eyes. And it is true, it's nice to have a warm home to live in, especially whenever we look at how cold it is outside and that there are people that are less fortunate. It's nice that we had a car to get into to drive over here. It's nice that we have a lot of the material things, you know, that keep us comfortable. But guys, if all of that was stripped away from you tomorrow, would you have something to be thankful for, and could you continue to be thankful? That is a good question, isn't it? Because I can tell you, a man's worth is not just the things that he has or the things that he can do. If we really look at what makes us worth something, it really is our relationship with God. And so as we continue to look at the Scripture, let's just break this Scripture down to look at some things to be thankful for, because I'm going to tell you, the guy who was writing it was sitting in prison while he was writing it. So we have to keep that in mind. He didn't have all of the material things and that necessarily to be thankful for. So let's see the types of things that he's showing us in God's Word to be thankful for. So the first thing, just let's go to the first one there. Faith in Christ Jesus. Man, is that something to be thankful for? That you have been given the gift of faith. What an amazing thing. I can tell you, folks, I can remember living in this world without faith in Jesus and just a little bit of faith that God even existed. It was a dismal place to live. It was a dismal life to live. It was like watching black and white TV all the time. You guys ever have a black and white TV? All right. So, yeah, it's a pretty dismal thing, right? And my life felt very black and white, but I can tell you, since I have received this faith in Christ Jesus, I am so thankful. And I pray to God that He never allows me to lose the wonder of that thankfulness. God has given me this faith, and somewhere around 21 years ago, He spawned it in my heart. And I can tell you, I was not smart enough. I was not powerful enough. I was not driven, you know, and ambitious enough to go looking for God. God found me. He knew where I was. He drew me out. He's the one who helped me to have faith. And it's such an amazing day that faith came to rest in my heart and take root. And so for that, I am eternally thankful. And I give Him all the praise and the glory. And I give God glory as well for your faith, the faith of others. And I can tell you, no matter where I've gone in the world, even if they're just a very small remnant of the place where I've been, I have been so thankful to find people that have and share the same faith. And I can tell you, we have instant connection as family through that faith. I've been in Sri Lanka. I have been in Dubai. I have been now in Thailand. I have been in Mexico. And I can tell you, in some of these places, it was rather hard to find another Christian. But boy, when you did, you could know it. It's such an amazing thing, this connection we have in the faith in Jesus Christ. So be thankful first for your own faith. And I pray that you really have saving faith. You know, you may be sitting there and you may be thinking, man, I don't know what he's talking about. You know, I may not have that kind of joy because maybe I'm still afraid that I haven't really found that faith. I can tell you, the one you need to ask is Jesus Himself. Just go and ask Him. Ask Him for that faith, because I can tell you, faith isn't something we conjure up. Faith is really, truly a gift from God. Now, it isn't like just this magical, mystical gift that He just knocks you over with someday. You got to ask. And it's a good thing to ask. You ask God for more faith. I don't know about the rest of you guys. Do you ever struggle with your faith sometimes? Not being as big as you need it to be? I mean, I can tell you, sometimes I struggle, you know. I can be doubtful. And it says don't pray doubting in the book of James. And yet I do sometimes. It says don't even expect to get anything. So where do I come up with enough faith to believe? It's something I got to just continually go back to the throne of God and ask for. But I am thankful for the little bit that He's given me, because He said that even with just a mustard seed size of faith, we can move mountains, because it's God who moves the mountains. So be thankful for your own faith, and if you don't have it, ask for it. And then you can be thankful for it, because God will give it. He promises to. And then be thankful for the faith of others. You know what's even the most amazing thing is whenever you have seen that God has used you personally to help another person's faith either be spawned or grow. How many of you guys have ever had the experience? You don't have to raise your hand on this. I just want you to think about it. How many have you had the experience of helping another person come to faith? I can tell you guys, if you've ever experienced it, you're like forever addicted to helping people come to know Jesus. How about, has God ever used you to help disciple another individual? I pray that He is, and that He has, and that He will continue to, because there's nothing else really, truly any better than that. Because that's the forever thing that keeps giving, that's eternal. Real, true, saving faith, guys, continues on forever. Number two thing, we see in this same scripture, okay? So, He's thankful for the faith. And the faith in Jesus, He sees it in them. It started with that He had it. He took it to Ephesus with Him. And then a convert from Ephesus takes it to Colossae, and we see that they gained the faith. And a number two thing that we see in that is also not only faith, but a love for all the saints. Can I get an amen for that one? I can tell you guys, before I came to Christ, I thought all them folks that were really dedicated to going to church seemed a little weird to me. Have you guys ever felt that way? Did you grow up in church? If you grew up in church, you may not have experienced that same thing. But I didn't grow up in church, and it just seemed like, you know, I can remember coaching baseball, and I had certain kids that would not come to baseball games or practice on Wednesday night because they went to church instead. And I thought, man, what's wrong with those folks? Are they just fanatics? You know, that seems weird. But now I get it. As soon as I became a Christian, I was so thankful for the faith, and I wanted to grow in it, that I wanted to be there every time the doors were open. And Wednesday night was one of the days that the door was open at the church, and so I wanted to be there. And I understood those parents who and their children couldn't come to ball games on Wednesday night because they had an opportunity to gain knowledge and grow in the Lord. And so along with that comes this love for the saints. You know, I thought it was weird to be in church, and I thought maybe church folks seemed a little strange to me. I had a hard time really connecting with them. But as soon as I got saved, I noticed this amazing connection between me and the rest of the saints in Christ. Whenever I would find somebody that was truly a faithful Christian, it was an automatic connection. As I said, no matter where I've gone in the world, I sometimes can't even understand the person's language, but there's an instant connection in the faith through Jesus Christ, an instant love between the saints. And to see your love for each other is something that I'm truly thankful for as well. And that's what Paul is noticing, is the love for all the saints. Number three, truth of the gospel is revealing the hope that is laid up for us in heaven. If we look there in chapter 1, verse 5, he spells this out. Guys, there is a hope that is laid up for us in heaven. Are you thankful for that? And are you thankful that it's the gospel that's revealing that hope, not only in your life, but in other people's lives as well? You see, this is one of those signs of the fruit of salvation in our lives, is that we begin to be more thankful about these types of things than what we are about the little things, you know? I mean, I'm thankful when I get a new pair of shoes. They feel pretty good for a while, but, you know, the newness wears off. You're thankful for that newer vehicle from time to time, but the newness wears off. But here's a thankfulness and a thanksgiving that should never lose its power and its newness in your life, is that we have a hope that's laid up for us in heaven. Amen? This one, like, should never grow old in our lives. Be thankful for it always. And that the gospel is revealing that hope, not only in our lives, but in other people's lives. What does the word gospel mean? Can anybody tell me? Good news. Man, oh man, is there any better news than to hear Jesus died for you to pay for your sins, that you might live forever in heaven with Him? Is that not a hope that's laid up in heaven? How amazing is that? Something to truly be thankful for. That's one that even if you're sitting in prison for the faith, guys, you can still be thankful for this. And to see other people receiving that through the gospel, you can still be thankful for this. Number four, that the true gospel is bringing forth fruit all over the world by God's grace. So we're talking a little bit about the Lonnie Moon offering. We're talking a little bit about raising money to take the gospel to other parts of the world, to help support missionaries that are there. Are you thankful that people who live in darkness are now able to have a light that's going to bring them to Christ as well? Just to think that the gospel has the same power no matter where we look in the world. Guys, even these places that we pray for on the persecution map, the yellow and brown shaded areas in that 1040 window on that map over there. I just want you to know, even there, the gospel is just as powerful. God is bringing forth faith, and He is bringing forth this hope that's laid up in heaven, even for the people there. It just continues to bring forth faith all over the world. Look at verse 6 as he says it, which has come to you and has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit. What's the fruit that is bringing forth? You know, the fruit of the Spirit is being lived out in the lives, but guys, it's bringing forth new believers. More new Christians are being born again all over the world because of the hope of the gospel, the true gospel. Now, guys, if we ever dull the sword, if we ever dull the gospel, if we ever try to say there's more than one way to heaven, like go along with the world to please the world, then all of a sudden, all this power is lost. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. And when that is preached and He is lifted up, I'm just going to tell you, the power is unleashed. And it brings forth fruit. And Satan don't like it. And so that's why he persecutes it. When we see persecution coming on the church, we need to take heart and be thankful to know that then the power is being released. That's why it woke Satan up. You see, guys, the gospel is bringing forth fruit all over the world. Number five, also be thankful that God uses every believer in His work. Can I have an amen? Every believer is being used. In fact, right here in this little verse, you discover something about how the gospel made it to Colossae. It says, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Guys, most of the letters that Paul wrote to the churches were churches that he personally sponsored and started. But this church was started by one of His disciples. Praise be to God! I can tell you, for the gospel to be multiplied as it said, it has to flow through the other disciples for that to happen. You see, it's real nice for the pastor to be witnessing to people around in the community. That's great, and he should, and I should do the work of the evangelist. But I can tell you, I better not be the only evangelist in this room. This room needs to be filled with every blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ being the evangelist, taking the gospel everywhere you go, to your job, to your schools, to your gatherings, your family meetings, to everywhere you go. We should be seeing more believers who are being born again through your ministry. You can tell this part excites me a little bit. Because guys, this is the dream. This is what it's all about. It's for the gospel to keep propagating and multiplying. Because if every person in this room leads two people to Christ each year, can you imagine the explosion? And if they then lead two people, just two people, closer to Christ, or dare I say even completely to Christ, how will the gospel multiply in the matter of 5 or 10 years? And what Paul is seeing is that one of his disciples went out to make disciples to the next town and helped start a church. He is thankful for that. And I can totally understand it. Paul may be in prison while he's writing this, but guys, the gospel's not in prison with him. The gospel's continuing on because God uses every believer in His work. Amen? Amen. Another thing to be thankful for. Number six, love in the Spirit in the family of God. In another place we find, chapter 12 of Romans, it talks about, let your love be without hypocrisy. Same writer, Holy Spirit, through the same writer, Paul. What we need to understand is, guys, there is love in the Spirit that is better than any other love that the world has ever experienced. Love is one of those words that has been so misconstrued in our society, and it's unfortunate that in English we only have like one general word for love. Because one person will say, man, I love a cheeseburger. There's just nothing better than a cheeseburger. And another person will say, man, I love red cars. But that is nothing like the love of the Spirit, guys. It ain't even in the same category. It's not even in the same universe. It's not anywhere close, because what he's talking about here is agape love. This is talking about agape love in the Spirit, which becomes phileo love between all the brothers and sisters in the church. You know, which should also help us in all the other types of love, the charity love, and even eros, which is where we get the word erotic for romantic love. What we need to understand is if everything would start with God's love, agape love, and flow from there, then all those relationships become what they should be. And so what he's talking about, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. So we've got this disciple that was sent out. He was going to make more disciples like he was supposed to, like we're all called to. He was equipped, and then he took it with him. He helped start a church, and then this church wanted to send back their love back to the original source through God to Paul, who they had heard of. So he's feeling the love and the Spirit from the greater body. Praise God. Now that's love. I can just tell you something, guys. Just made my day the other day. We were all sitting around, and we get this little text and our Facebook Messenger message, you know. And which, by the way, you don't have to be on Facebook to have Messenger. You can get Messenger even if you're not on Facebook. But this Messenger, it's just a different way to send messages. And all of a sudden, video message, okay, like a video call. And so we went ahead and answered it, and it was Pong. It was Pong from Thailand, you know. And his English is very broken, and it's hard for us to totally understand each other. Man, we had such a good conversation. It was so cool, you know. And he's telling me about how they're going to be taking the gospel to the Burmese people along the border that have never heard. And I'm excited for him, and I offered to pray for him right there on the video call, you know. That's that love in the Spirit we're talking about. It transcends, you know, borders of countries. It transcends even language barriers. And it's just the love that is so amazing, you know. And so his wife was trying to do a little translating for the girls who were in the background. They take care of two of the girls down in the city. And so these two girls are back there smiling, and I know they're not understanding everything that they're saying, but it's all right because we're feeling the love amongst each other, you know? That's the kind of love in the Spirit. That's the kind of love in the Spirit we felt last week whenever we had our fellowship meal after the church service, right? We just enjoyed one another for a while. We enjoyed being thankful together. Guys, what other ways do we feel the love, you know, whenever you're hurting and one of your brothers and sisters decides and offers to pray for you? That's the kind of love we're talking about. Are you feeling the love? I pray you're feeling it in the Spirit. That kind of agape love that God flows to you from His throne and even through other people that are His. Now, next question is, are you letting Him use you to flow that love into other people's lives? Sometimes I can see how I need it, but you got to remember God wants to use you to bring it to other people who need it too. So just be in the midst of that circulating love in the Spirit. What an amazing thing. Seventh thing, be thankful for. That we are qualifiers by God for an inheritance in the light. Do I get an amen on that one? We're qualifiers. Did you ever try to get into a race before? And, you know, they have qualifying heats. How many of you guys ever ran track or anything like that? Any kind of competition running? Okay, I got two hands up. This one's going to miss most of you. Okay, so, but anyway, I guess three, because you got. I'll include mine. But, you know, like to get into the main event race, you got to be able to qualify for it. And so that means you got to win some races to get there. You know, tournaments can be this way too. They might have several opportunities for you to play games along the way, and then eventually you can qualify for the big tournament. Well, here's the deal, guys. None of us are good enough to qualify to be in heaven. Can't do it. Can't do it. All of your good works, all of them put together, if we put everybody's good works in this room together as an offering to God, it would be nothing but filthy rags to our Father. Even if we put everybody's together and multiplied them some more, it'd still be like filthy rags to the Father. Now, I'm not telling you don't do the good works. What I'm telling you is it's God who qualifies us. It's Jesus who finished the race. It's Jesus who won the qualifying rounds. It's Jesus who said it is finished on the cross. It is Jesus who died to qualify us. And I can tell you, you're going to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Read the last part of Revelation, guys. You just need to read it. is whenever you read it, you just find out that like everything in heaven in the New Jerusalem is translucent. It's like light can shine through it. And it's because God is so amazing and His light is who He is. He is light and in Him there is no darkness. And it is going to be shining throughout heaven forever. You get to be partakers of that. There's not going to be any shadows of darkness, and God doesn't change, and all of this, and you get to be partakers of that. It's something to truly be thankful for, because it's God who qualified you. It's the Father who qualified you by sending Jesus. He qualified you so that you can live with Him forever, because He knew He couldn't do it. Number 8, that we have been delivered from the power of darkness. So we're qualifiers of the inheritance and the light, and we've been delivered from the power of darkness. I want you to notice something about all that. I see past tense verbs going on there. I'm not a super big, really astute English major or anything like that. I'm not really all that good at breaking down sentences and all that. My wife could show me a whole lot of things about it. She's even smiling as I say it because she knows. That's not my huge gift. But what I am going to tell you is whenever I notice something's past tense in God's Word, that means He's already done it. And that's something to be thankful for because that means I can't mess it up. That means it's done and it's sealed and it's the deal. And whenever He gives it to me, it's already done. And so I can bank on it. I can fix my life on it. I can build everything on this. And you know what else? I can be thankful for it. Because, you know, the thing of it is, you know, a lot of times we can almost be afraid to be thankful for something because it might not totally happen or come true. This is one of those that you can be totally thankful for because it's already happened. Okay? It's already happened. In fact, whenever we look there at verse 12, which was the verse that we ended on last week, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, verse 13, and has delivered us. Has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us. Wow, we're on a conveyor. What do you get about a conveyor? I mean, like, that might just seem like a weird word, you know, conveyed. We're going to get into that with the next thing we're thankful for. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Darkness has no power over you anymore. You don't need to fear the dark anymore. Okay, because, see, God's done it, and He has conveyed us, number 9, something else to be thankful for, into the kingdom of His Son. So what's the deal with the conveyor? It moves from one place to the next. It just does it. It transports things. Very good. All these things are things we need to recognize. Does the thing on the conveyor have to do anything? Once it's put on the conveyor, it's going from point A to point B. Okay? So, here's the deal, guys. Another past tense verb. You don't have to wait until you get to heaven to be in the kingdom of the Son of His love. Guys, the minute you get saved, the second, the millisecond that you truly are saved, guys, you are conveyed instantly from this kingdom of darkness that we live in to the kingdom of His light. Now, true, my body hadn't caught up with the rest of it yet, but it will. We may have some tribulation in this world, just like Jesus said, you will, but be of good cheer, He said, for I have overcome the world. Yeah. And guys, later on, Paul, by the power of the same Holy Spirit, said, He has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We are there. We are there by principle. We are there effectively. Now, eventually, we're going to be there physically. But what we need to know is God, He is completing that good work that He started in us. We do not have to walk around sad. We do not have to walk around defeated. We should not walk around afraid of the dark. We should not walk around worrying about the power of Satan. We shouldn't be walking around worried about whether or not we're really going to make it into the kingdom of the Son of His love. One of the worst things that I hate to ask somebody that claims to be a Christian, whenever they give me this answer. This is the worst answer. And if you've ever given me this answer, I'm not picking on you this morning because I don't remember who all those were. I don't put faces with some of the answers, you know. But I get this answer too much. And I'll say, so are you looking forward to being in heaven? Or do you believe you'll go to heaven whenever you die? And too often I'll hear, man, I hope so. Guys, I'm going to tell you, it may still be kind of like hope because we haven't actually like seen it all the way yet, you know, and so like we're still hoping for it, but I want your hope to be based in knowing something. Because you see, I'm hoping for it because I know it because 1 John tells me I can know it, and here's the part that I know is that if God has saved me, it is done. Whenever Jesus said it's finished on the cross, all work need be done to save me, and then He brought me to Himself, and He's put the Holy Spirit in me, it's done. He has conveyed me into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And I'm going to tell you, I am thankful for that. Oh God, help me to be thankful for that every day. Help me to be thankful for that each and every day. I don't know why it has number 9 on it, but anyway. It does on the notes. Number 8, we have redemption. Okay? We have redemption through His blood. We have redemption through His blood. Here we got Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption. What does that word redemption mean? Can anybody tell me? We use the word sometimes and we throw it out there. Bought us back, okay? Redeem means to be bought back from slavery, never to be sold again. How did He buy us back? The price He paid was His very own blood. Guys, if they ever take the blood out of the gospel, then it's not the gospel anymore. And you know, there's a whole movement that trying to take the blood out of the different songs, trying to take the blood out of the preaching. Certain Bible translations that are not done to be true translations. Sometimes they're trying to change the word for blood and take blood out of it and all this stuff. Guys, here's the deal. It took the blood of Christ to pay for us. There had to be a blood sacrifice, so Jesus volunteered. It had to be a perfect sacrifice, so Jesus volunteered. Couldn't be any of us because it had to be a perfect sacrifice. And none of us are perfect. Jesus volunteered. He gave His blood. It was poured out on the cross. It was poured out whenever they thrust the sword or the spear into His side to make sure that He was dead. What came out? Blood mixed with water. It was the blood of Jesus that cleansed us from our sins. Guys, we've got to know that we have redemption through His blood. It's not based on what you do. It's not based on what you're going to do. It's not based on what you've done. It's based in Jesus and Him alone. And if you're in Christ, you're redeemed. He's bought you. You belong to Him. He will never sell you back. You're His. I want to praise God for that. Amen? Are you thankful for that? And number 9, that we have forgiveness of sins. Also in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Do you want your sins forgiven? It's the only way. Have you ever tried to do enough to try to make up for your sins? Have you ever tried to like do enough good to make up for the bad that you've done? Have you ever felt like trying to do that, maybe even just in another person's life? You find out it's impossible. You can't do enough good to erase the bad. It wouldn't matter if you did a whole lifetime of good and never made another mistake again. That mistake will still be there. But here's the thing, guys. With God, whenever He says He forgives, He truly forgives. He's not going to bring it back up to hurt us with it again. He's never going to push it in our face ever again. If anybody's pushing your past sins in your face after you're saved, it ain't God doing that. I'm just going to tell you. That's things like what Satan does. Keep saying, oh, you can't really be forgiven of that. Oh, look at this. You know, you think that. No. Don't you listen to that. That's called condemnation. And it's Satan who condemns. Now, whenever God convicts and He shows us of present sins in our lives, that's a sweet thing. That's the thing God does because He wants you to repent so that He will fully forgive you and you don't have to think about it no more. You know, guys, here's the deal. I do remember my former sinfulness. It's there. I haven't forgotten it, but I know one thing for sure. I'm not condemned by it, and I am forgiven. And the only reason why I still remember it is because I want to remember how awesome what God's done for me is. God has forgiven me of every sin. God, through Jesus Christ, has given me true forgiveness. And you know what? My worst enemy in this world, I want them to find that too. Because, you know, if they had that, they wouldn't be my enemy anymore. We would have the love and the Spirit, you see? You see how this all is working? And before you know it, guys, we'd be just as close as we all are here in this room, and that's what we need to want. Be thankful that not only have you been redeemed through His blood, but you've also been forgiven of your sins. Guys, please, don't try to carry your sin along with you anymore. It becomes too heavy a burden. You cannot continue on in the Christian walk like that. God don't want you to do that. God doesn't require you to do that. God won't ever try to do that to you. He just wants us to just give it to Him and say, God, thank you for forgiving me. Praise the Lord. Jesus' death was enough. It was enough to pay for it all. So 9 things I want you to be thankful for and just keep in your mind as we've read it in the Scripture, because the Scripture is truth. And guys, even if you didn't have your car, you didn't have a roof over your head, you didn't have anything else in your life, even if you were going hungry right now, all of these things are still true, and you can base your thankfulness on it. And what I pray for you right now is that you will know this kind of forgiveness, you will experience this kind of forgiveness, this will be just as real to you because it's in Christ and you have received Christ, and then that you will go out and offer this to everyone else that you can. That would be my prayer for you today. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, please bless us and help us, Lord, to be, first of all, full recipients of this grace that we read about, that we are thankful for today, that we are praising you for. Help us to be full recipients of this, and that we will go forward and offer it to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.